And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance of goal, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
All right, you're welcome along to the GAR. This is the Hurling Show on a Monday with Bugs and JJ. Lads, the one place to start, and I started the football show with this as well, was the CPA motion for voter transparency. It was defeated at Congress on Saturday. So it wasn't just defeated, it was absolutely destroyed. So only 17% of delegates voted in favour of their votes being transparent and open. So they obviously don't want people to know what way they're voting. So it's a bit. I was shocked at the numbers, at the lack of support it received. I thought it might a little bit closer. But again, in my experience, this is not surprising that it was defeated, considering the attitude a lot of county board officials have for players. And this is the Players Association. It's like, don't try to mess with this is our domain. Don't be messing with that. And it's often that's the kind of attitude.
Yeah, it's kind of way like you go out and do what you do out in the field. We're this is our boardroom now. This is our sanction, our domain. So you don't be worrying what's going on here, and we won't worry what's going on out there. But I just think it's a kind of a step back. It's kind of old school mentality. It should be, at this day and age, it should be very, very transparent of what's going on between players and kind of county board members there as well. I just don't see the reason why it has been knocked back. But it should be transparent. It's there for the players to actually have a chat about what's going on there and have a say in it. And maybe that's why they don't want to have the players have a say in what's going on in the future as well.
I think, Bugs, if this motion was proposed by anyone outside of the Club Players Association, it probably would have sailed through, which is, it's an awful indictment of how these fellas' minds work.
Yeah, I think so, Willie. Like, and I'm sitting here and I'm kind of bamboozled and I'm kind of scratching my head as to why the motion wasn't passed. Like, in fairness, the GPA weren't actually surprised that it was defeated, you know, from the feedback and the vibes they were getting throughout the week. But I can't for the life of me understand, you know, why, you know, those delegates, you know, have taken this stance. And Tracy Kindy, the Cork chairperson, she came out against it, as well as the European delegate Tony Bass. And you know, this guy Bass, he used words such as witch hunts, and he said, you know, the group associated with this were a Trojan horse for a group. You know,
yeah.
It's just unbelievable, really. And all the motion does was it ensures that the delegate vote is mandated. That's all it was, you know, to ensure that the delegate vote is mandated. And, you know, who am I to say that not every vote has been mandated in the past? But at least this would have alleviated that problem, you know, and there might be, you know, talk down through the years of, you know, a bit of corruption or whatever you want to call it, but at least this would have put it to bed, you know, and total transparency would have put it to bed. But going back to this Bass guy, like, this seems to be, you know, from what I've read up, it seems to be his second year in a row where he's come out and he seems to have a bit of a beef, you know, against the CPA for whatever reason or not, you know. And from what I gather, you know, at the Congress, he became very emotional and he became very disrespectful, you know, to all members of the CPA, you know. And, you know, he came out with this statement saying it was basically a nutty group. You know, who's this guy,
yeah,
you know, to slip people like the likes of Liam Griffin, who has given so much to our games, who's done so much promoting the games, and also members of the CPA who are heavily involved in club administration down through the years and all of that. You know, who is this guy to come out and say that, you know, this has been led by a nutty group? So basically, he's calling 20,000+ members of the CPA, you know, a nutty group, which is, I think this guy needs to have a reality check, being honest with you.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing is the likes of him wouldn't be alone in their thinking. You know, that's the reality of it. And, like, I mean, you mentioned the GPA, and I mentioned this on the football show. The GPA are the only organisation that these lads fear because they represent the cash cow of the association. And that's what these lads worry about. And when you look at the government grants that the GPA forced through maybe 10 years ago now, the delegate, the grassroots and the delegate opposition to that was even stronger than these motions. They didn't want it. But the GPA had that might and that strength to be able to, I think there was the few protests, like the socks down in parades, and even a threat of not fulfilling a league game. That was enough to get the grants through. And this was a worry at the time of the game becoming professional. This is only going to be a pathway to a professional game. And that terrifies GAA members more than anything else. But that's why sometimes with the GPA, it just frustrates me so much that they don't lead on these things anymore. And now it's left to the CPA, who don't have the same clout as the GPA because they're not the cash cow. They're just ordinary club players. And every motion the CPA have brought to Congress has just been swatted away like a nuisance, JJ.
Yeah, well, like, the GPA will have to reconsider their stance because you're a club player before, you're an inter-county player as well, and where do all these their members, GPA members, come from the club at the start as well? So they're going to have to start listening to these guys as well. But I'm just hoping now they don't just take this and just go back, because I think it's a very, very good idea, and transparency is what we should be all about, in no matter what, in politics, in sport, everything should be transparent. Do you know what I mean? It can't be let just being defeated just because one motion is there. So I'd be just kind of, I'd be hoping now that lads will take it on and next year again and gather momentum and just stay banging on this door until it does come true, you know.
Yeah. Do you think the GPA should be stronger on this, Bugs? Like, I mean, should they come a little bit stronger? Like, we know that they're a little bit compromised with the funding stuff, but like, I mean, the CPA should be allies of the GPA, you know. They should work together. You don't always see evidence of that happening.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they, I suppose both should be backing up each other, really, like, you know, because they're, at the end of the day, it's all about player welfare and doing the best that they possibly can for the players. But it just goes back to what JJ was saying before about this old school mentality within the GAA, you know. But also, just following on from what JJ was saying there, the CPA shouldn't give up on it just because it didn't go past this year. I think they still should, you know, follow on it and put it in again next year.
Bugs, they can't actually. Would you believe that? That's how bad it is. They can't. It was defeated so badly. They can't put it in for three years again.
Yeah. Sure, that's again. It's another reason for the motion to be put down as much as it could, because that's been put out to bed for another three years as well. Like, you know. Yeah. So.
But really, like, really, Bugs, should these delegates be voting on something that directly affects something that they might not be doing correctly? Like, yeah. It's Turkey's voting for Christmas completely here. Like, there's no, people say it's a democratic organisation. It's not.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think, you know, the Cork chairperson, Tracy Kennedy, went with the whole, it's a trust issue and you should trust, you know. That you can to a certain extent, but it would still alleviate all the questions that people would have, you know, about this process if there was transparency. That's the whole point, you know. And I think the whole the GAA, they were coming out of, well, sure, you should be able to trust, you know, the delegates that are doing making these votes and stuff like that. But it's not an issue of trust. I think that's the whole point, you know. Yeah,
it's hard to know what to say outside of all that, but
it is really, yeah.
It is. It's just it's disappointing for the CPN, for everybody, really, who hope that it will go through. Mary, I want to talk to the two of you quickly about the state of this National Hurling League, because it's the most ridiculous thing you'll ever come across. That, like, okay, here's the thing. I think Galway should throw the game against Limerick next week, because Galway just have been on easy streets. They've had no media attention. They've just been floating through games. Now they'll have a big game against Limerick. They'll be in a quarter final and they'll have all the competitive games they want, and they've had just a nice, they've given lads games without the pressure. Waterford, we've been speculating, are in awful trouble. Kilkenny were in a crisis. Like, I mean, all this narrative goes on and pressure is on the other teams, right? But why on earth do the same amount of teams go through out of Division 1B as Division 1A? It makes no sense, because I was reading a match report from Laois and Offaly, and it was like, if Dublin beat Laois next week, Dublin will be in the quarterfinal. Now, this is Dublin that have been... it's an embarrassing league for Dublin and for Pat Gilroy. Yeah. And for Dublin to be in a quarter final based on that league, it's just wrong, JJ.
Yeah, it is, love. Which, again, they have to play what's in front of them as well, and the format that's there as well. They've no, probably they might benefit of many teams, and then if they get a couple of good results within the quarter final stages of the league, go on again, that'll boost their confidence, and they could have gone a completely different year. But then, like, they shouldn't be really having that opportunity because of the first few games they had now. And
they shouldn't. You shouldn't be rewarded with a quarter final after the league Dublin have had, and the chances are
actually happen.
Chances are they'll beat Laois and be in a quarter final.
They'll come back then and maybe they might have the cooler lads back now and everything like that as well. Like, you know, so that'll strengthen their hand again. The longer they're staying in the league and the longer they go, the better the team they're going to have, and the better the team is going to be balanced there for the first game. And look, they're obviously focusing on the Kilkenny match in the first round of Leinster, right? But they'd love to have another crack at a redemption in the league, which if they do win next week, they probably will get it, you know. It's funny.
Yeah, three from 1A and one from 1B might be a little bit fairer, as in Galway and Limerick then, Bugs, will actually have a playoff match next week to see who actually can get into the semis, and that would be like the outstanding team in 1B, which seems fair, and then the top three in 1A. You'd imagine that would be a fair way of doing it.
I think so, Willie. Yeah, it was that way a couple of years ago, all right. I remember when we were down in 1B, we finished top, and then we got to semi-final that way. But, you know, the same thing happened a couple of years ago as well with Offaly. You know, Offaly had a dismal run in the league, but I think they had to beat Kerry in their last game. They got into quarter-final then that way. You know, there's just a great unfairness about the whole thing. And really, when it comes to a quarter-final stage of a national competition like that, you want your best teams, right, playing at the quarterfinal stage. And the reality is at the moment that the best teams aren't playing when it comes to the quarterfinal. You know, it's just something that's crying out, you know, to be scrapped, really. And my own opinion on it would be that I think the whole thing is crying out for a 10-team Division 1A league, really. You know, scrap the Waterford Crystals or the Walsh Cups or these competitions at the start of the year. Start your league really, really early. Every team plays each other, and then maybe the top two go on and play off in the final. You know, that way you're going to have, I think, a little bit more. It's going to be a little fair anyway, if anything else.
You probably have those 10 teams now at this stage, do you? If Dublin step up to the mark, you'd have the six in 1A, yeah, and then you'd have Limerick, Galway, Dublin, and
the fourth team, yeah.
And Offaly probably. Would Offaly be the other one?
Then, yeah, Antrim and Laois as well.
Oh,
they're
yeah,
in the bottom two, and then it's
oh yeah, Offaly get into it as well. Yeah, yeah, but you see, Offaly wouldn't be able for that standard though, wouldn't he? So you're always kind of snookered. Would you go with eight and leave Dublin and Offaly out?
I don't think so. I think what Bugs are saying is a good idea, because look, the league this year, it has been diluted. There's no point in saying any different because of what's going to happen within the championship and coming up in the league, in the Munster League and the Leinster League there as well. So no matter what you say, the league, it has been diluted this year as well. And it probably seen that yesterday now with Kilkenny and Tipperary as well. The last 10 minutes or last 15 minutes, Niall O'Mara went off and Noam McGrath was sitting on the bench, but Michael Ryan turned around and put on a young guy to just give him a bit of experience there. Yeah. If this was this time last year, there would have been Noam McGrath would have been on, Parag Barry would have been on for the last 10 minutes to make sure to see out the game and go on and win it. But again, it's all about giving game time to these players.
It's just one big pre-season tournament.
Well, it is,
now.
Yeah,
I said this would happen in the preview show, and the reason I said it would happen, and unlike the football, it's a different than the football, because both Munster and Leinster are another league.
Yeah, another league.
So you're
yeah,
not even like,
you go from one league into the next league.
You can't. This league now is a warm-up competition.
Yeah, it
and
is,
like that's
yeah,
the way it's been used by most teams, JJ.
Yeah, 100%. Again, it has been diluted because of everyone doesn't. It's a fear of showing their hands, and it's kind of getting a lot of players a game time as much as we can, because if you're playing 4 or 5 weeks in a row, come the league games in Leinster and Munster, you're going to have a savage panel as well, because injuries, suspensions is all going to take into account, because it's going to be a panel game for the, especially the first league games in Leinster and Munster, definitely going to be panels.
Yeah, no, definitely. I wanted to talk about this Donal Maloney incident, Bugs, but they didn't show it on League Sunday, so I'm not really sure what I can say about it, but it's in every different match report that he got a warning from a fourth official after he collided with the Wexford midfielder Kevin Foley. Now, I've read that he tripped Kevin Foley up as he's running past on the sideline, or he's collided with him on purpose. But because I suppose we haven't seen it, I don't want to go too hard on it. But I don't know, is there talk about it down there in Clare?
Not really, Willie. Again, and I got hold of the match last night myself, and I couldn't see anything in it either.
Right.
It didn't show us. So, again, I can't really comment on it because I haven't seen the incident. I'm only going on word of mouth, and I haven't really been talking to anyone down around these parts about it yet today, so can't really comment on it, Willie, being honest with you.
Yeah, okay, Arsene Wenger, you haven't been talking to anybody.
I was looking the other way.
I didn't see this incident myself. Well, Donal Maloney can count himself lucky, because I was glued to that league Sunday. I was saying, when is this coming up? I was thinking, like, this is going to be the big part of that match, and it wasn't. But, like, I mean, if Bugs, you didn't see it on the match, then maybe the cameras didn't pick it up.
I think Foley hit with his late shoulder and Shane O'Donnell, and the two of them were out over the line, but the camera then just skipped straight away
And then you could hear the crowd kind of roaring, you know?
Right.
I think it was around like the 9th or 10th minute or something like that around the game, because I know when about maybe it happened, but you can't actually see it at
right.
all. So I don't know, I'd say there'd be nothing made of it, being honest.
Yeah, okay, grand. So we'll move on from there and we'll give out about the pitch in Páirc Uí Chaoimh instead, JJ,
yeah,
because Christ, geez. That was a joke. Like, that was outrageous.
It absolutely scandalous. It's just a blessing that none of the players got injured when they were doing it, because just the ground was just giving away and it was just completely sand underneath it there as well. But I was just kind of thinking about today, if your own club team was to go play a practice match on that field, you'd be disgusted having another team come on and try and play in that game. And I don't actually know how they actually hurled on it, you know. It's just from the near side of the field, it was just complete sand. And obviously the last week wasn't too bad. It was very, very dry for the whole week, and it just must be the high water table or something there. I don't know what the situation is, but like it's bad. Like, it's a lovely, perfect stadium, but that's the surface that they're playing on. It's very, very poor, not
yeah,
to be fair.
Terrible. And that's a new pitch as well, because I tweeted about that yesterday and lads replied saying that they actually redeveloped the ground, but the actual pitch that was there was untouched. But that's not true. It is a new pitch.
But even from the first game they had in there, was Wexford and Tipperary, somewhere like that, or a couple
Wexford
of games.
Waterford.
Yeah, Wexford Waterford and Tipperary playing after them. Tipperary and Clare. And sure, the field that day was given away there as well. So they have problems with it from day one.
Right.
So, but I never seen any intercounty field. Like, you see the likes of Nolan Park compared to Páirc Uí Chaoimh.
Yeah, Nolan Park was in a great nick. Yeah. I don't know, Bugs. Like, I mean, the talk is that the stand covers the pitch, and the sun doesn't get at the pitch enough, so it's really, really bad under, I think it's that south stand, because that's where the it doesn't get enough sun, hours of sunlight, and the grass doesn't grow.
Yeah.
But that's a serious issue, because, like, I mean, imagine hurling of all games playing on that kind of a surface with that sand is just impossible.
Yeah, I was actually just going to make that point, Wooly. Like, I think we were the first game to play there last year, and facility-wise, absolutely unbelievable. And that day, actually, the pitch wasn't too bad. I thought it was pretty good. But then, start of the league this year, watching the Cork Kilkenny match, and they're like, Jesus, this is actually the same feel. I just could not believe it. But they say it's down to a lack of light, and that you know, the stand on one of the sides is a lot higher than the stand on the other side, and as a result, it's not getting the light that it should get. Well, in that case, then they're going to have to invest now in a grow light, like kind of like what they have in Croke Park,
yeah.
To roll it out during the nights and during the evenings. You know, Daly actually had in the Examiner there this morning, and he said that they need a bit of 10-20 fertilizer and water. I don't think that's the issue, Dale. It seems to be down to a lack of light. Now, was it bad planning? Maybe they couldn't get planning for the high stand on the far side, and they had to have it on that side. I don't know. I'd have to do a bit of research into the Cork County Council in relation to that. But obviously, there's something there that needs to be sorted, because is it doing the Cork hurlers or footballers any good? No, it's not.
No, not when they want to try and turn it into a fortress when you can't bloody run on it. And like, imagine the legs would be pulled out of you. Running on sand ain't very easy.
No, no.
So Tracy Kennedy and Frank Murphy, instead of worrying about the CPA, go sort your bloody pitch out. So we'll leave that there. But Seamus Harnady, because we won't mention this in the actual analysis, what was he thinking? That was such a bizarre thing to do, and reminded me almost of Armagh in 0-2 and 0-3, where this was their little trick. If you went to the ground against Armagh, you can be bloody sure someone's coming down on you with a knee. It's just that was the way they did it. And then they kind of got out of that then again. But like, I mean, Harnady was just blatant. Like, it's almost like something a child would do to another child jumping around on a bed.
Like, I mean, it was just complete rush of blood to his head. I'd say, even to see him coming off the field, his head was down. He's embarrassed what he was after doing himself. Yeah. I'd say, you know, it's just
captain though. Like, jeez, yeah. I don't like him though, right? Because hurling folk, but he's not that type of fella. Like,
he wouldn't be, no. But again, I'd say he had it done before he realised he's after doing it, you know. And then he kind of, look, he had to take his punishment. Look, it was a deserved red. He could have done a lot more damage too, in fairness, you know.
Yeah.
But it's something I say he's not proud of this morning, you say.
And what's Coughlin like, Bugs? Are we going to try and mitigate this for Harnady? Would he have been pissing him off enough to actually have done that, or is Coughlin a quiet enough fella that it's even more bizarre?
I think Coughlin gets off the stick now, you know. He's just your normal fullback. Ask JJ, he'd do a lot worse than
this is the go on.
Yeah, look, like you were saying, it's just a complete, you know, rush of blood to the head. But look, he's a big, big player for Cork. I don't look, I'm sure he regrets it, like you were saying, but I just hope he doesn't be dished out with a 3-month suspension or something stupid like that. Get one game and get him back in as soon as possible. You know, it's not him. He's not that type of player. Like, so I feel sorry for him in a way this morning, but yeah. Was it a red card? Jeez, it was. It totally was, yeah.
Yeah, it was a red card. But again, without going overboard on it, from the distance he was doing it, he's not going to cause much damage. Like, I mean, it was just a stupid thing to do.
He's not
going to hurt Coughlin badly by doing that.
You've seen under 14 or 16 doing it, you give out them for doing it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd have words with him, and they probably wouldn't have to words with him. He probably knew what he'd done was completely 100% wrong, like, you know, and the only good thing is he'd probably never make that mistake again in a Cork jersey, to be fair.
Yeah, well, listen, I think it was a rush of blood to the head, so maybe he will do it again. You don't know. He obviously lost his mind completely. Before we finish up, and I was given out about this a lot on the football show, so I'm going to have to be consistent about this on the hurling show, and that is the Fitzgibbon Cup. And I played Sigerson Cup, I won a Sigerson Cup, and I think it's a really important medal. I think the bonds that you create with fellas from other counties are really important. I think you've lifelong memories of nights out you've had with them, and they'll always be with you. Conor Cleary won a Fitzgibbon Cup on Saturday and togged out for Clare on Sunday, Bugs. Like, is that not the most joyless thing in the like that you can ever think of? To not even go and celebrate. I don't know, does Conor Cleary drink? Whether he drinks or not is irrelevant. You're still going out and enjoying him with your teammates. And if you can't celebrate a Fitzgibbon Cup win, what is this bloody game all about?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Cleary likes a beverage from time to time, all right?
Right.
Don't fear that. But look, as you just said, Woolly, you hit all the points there. What Fitzgibbon is all about, it's all about the social aspect of it, you know. They're doing a little bit of training before Christmas, the bonding sessions, and really it's all about the nights out, you know, after Fitzgibbon games, the stories, the characters you meet. Now, in Clare, I think Donald Maloney, he left it up to the boys themselves to make the decision, which I don't think he actually should have probably done. I think he should have just said, lads, look at Kuwait, play for Fitzgibbon final, we'll see you Tuesday or Wednesday night. Enjoy yourselves for the night or the two nights, whatever it is. But I think, you know, Conor was made, from Conor's point of view, Conor was made captain yesterday. And it's very, very hard, you know, when you might have been told, you know, during the week, well, look, you're going to be captain here on Sunday. First time ever captaining Clare. So I can see why Conor would have jumped at the opportunity to line out for Clare. I don't agree with it. I think, you know, he should have gone out. He should have been with the UL boys and had the crack. I'm sure he met up for it maybe last night, all right, but there's still, you know, I don't know. I think the managers themselves should just say, look at, like what they did in Kilkenny, like what they did in Tip, said, look, boys, we don't want to see it till Tuesday or Wednesday night. That was the way to go about it.
Yeah, no, definitely. And Kilkenny and Tip are the good examples of that, because they did without really good players for an important game for both counties, and the managers had enough cop on.
Yeah.
Pat Gilroy actually disappointed me. I think it was O'Donnell, he played for DCU,
played himself,
and Paddy Foley, it's not just Clare. Now, Paddy Foley and O'Donnell lost. So, like, I mean, I'd have more of a mood for maybe going if you'd lost than not. Either way, you should be really drowning in your sorrows with your Fitzgibbon team or celebrating. The idea that you'd leave it up to the player, I think, is really unfair, because then the player is double guessing. Is he playing mind games with me here? Does he, you know, if I go out in the beer, is he testing me? Yeah. Like, I mean, you're not really leaving it up to the player when you do that. It's not fair.
As it's hard to week, they should be fully focused on just playing the Fitzgibbon final and try and win it up for your team as well, because like, again, you're only a certain amount of years you can do that as well. And in fairness, when we were holding Fitzgibbon with Kilkenny, Brian Cody was big in favour of you go hard with your college and do your best for your college, do your best for your teammates, because at the end of the day, it's a final, it's like a league match. I know it's only a league match, but again, Fitzgibbon final is where it's all about. And I'd be under the impression that after a match like that, you should go celebrate with your teammates. Why are you putting in all the training? Why are you kind of putting out a lot of hardship there just so you can just, like, that would break my heart going out after winning the Fitzgibbon just to go home, and then you're wondering what the lads are doing and what they're doing. You wouldn't be fully focused on the match anyway. Because if I was to go to a match today after a Fitzgibbon match, I'd just kind of wondering, geez, what are the lads doing now? And you'll never, no matter, fair enough, you might meet them that night, but you're never going to get back that day that night you had after winning the match and the day after as well. So,
but you'd be in terribly bad form that was taken off you, you know. Like, and this is the thing, how many players go through their careers without having won anything?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you and Bugs are lucky that you won an All Ireland grand. Like, I mean, I've won county finals, Leinster titles, never won an All Ireland. But the thing you remember is what you win, and the winning kind of goes, but you remember all the great times you've had from those wins. If you don't have the good times for the wins, what's the point in going and making the effort to win them?
Yeah,
celebrate on the field and in the dressing room, and then you then head you off to play home. Another game.
Yeah.
You go home. Like, Jesus, and there's so many players around the country that have never won anything. To think that a player is winning a Fitzgibbon Cup and heading off to play another game, I'd say there'd be lads around the country going, what is the point?
It's like he's taking it for granted, really. Or
I think
winning,
so.
Winning his game.
Really
kind
do.
It's kind of diluting the whole thing, really, more than that, because it should be to be on and all. A final is there to be won, no matter who you're playing for or what you're playing for as well. So, no, I 100% agree. As I said, it was took out of our hands when we were playing with Kilkenny, and that was probably the right thing. And we'd give more back to the Kilkenny setup because, right, we had our fun, we enjoyed ourselves. Now it's back down to focus with Kilkenny there again. So, in fairness to Ryan, was very, very, very good to us at that particular time, because he had huge time for the Fitzgibbon Cup. Now even at matches you'd see him there watching Fitzgibbon's games as well, so he did buy into the whole thing. He probably played it himself as well, which probably would help too.
That does
help,
because when you play in these you have the greater anyone that played Sigurdsson or Fitzgibbon absolutely loves it and see the value in it and see the worth in it. It's people who have never bugs that think, oh well, they probably can't comprehend it because it's not given a time in the calendar, and they probably can't understand why players like it so much.
Yeah, exactly. And the sad thing about the Fitzgibbon hurl at the moment, I think the social aspect to a certain extent is fading away, you know, because basically you have Fitzgibbon panels now, and there's so many inter-county senior players. So after they play a Fitzgibbon game, they're nearly straight away brought to, you know, whatever recovery session by their county, you know, management, and the night of a Fitzgibbon game. But definitely, like, when you get to a weekend or a Fitzgibbon final in this case, that's another point, I think. The fact that they're getting rid of the Fitzgibbon weekend is an absolute joke as well, because to me, you know, there was a massive honour, massive pride, and there was some crack when you got to Fitzgibbon weekend. It was just unbelievable. But now, you know, it seems to be actually now that, okay, the best team is probably going to win at Fitzgibbon from now on, more so than the actual best panel. And Fitzgibbon was all about your panel and using your 22 and 25 guys when it came to a weekend. And that's what created that bond a little bit more. You know, I don't know, it just hasn't the same feel, doesn't have the same effect, you know, just playing off a final as a one match. It was all about the weekend. Like the Sigurdsson, it used to be all about the weekend as well. I think that's a great pity.
Yeah, we got up to the Sigurdsson in 99. It was up in Belfast when Rich Lee, we ended up winning it. And we were playing our first game on the Friday, I think it was. And Ollie Murphy, who was like the huge name back then, won an All-Ireland in 99 with me. They'd been knocked out of the Trench Cup, whatever club he was with, and we landed up about 4 o'clock. This lad's pissed. I don't know how he's after getting so drunk so fast. We're like, Ollie Murphy's floating around drunk as we're just getting ready to play our game. Like, that's what these weekends are all about.
And every one of your colleges wants you definitely to win the first match, because the hotel is booked
for that night. Yeah. Get us over the first one.
They're hoping that you're just kind of in bed at 10 o'clock, not going out, getting bet in the semi-final, drown your sorrows, come back to the hotel. Just too much worried about that.
Right, listen, we'll be back and take a look at the matches yesterday.
Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. 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 Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. 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 Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans.
It's hard to know who'd be the happier coming out of Nolan Park. Like, I mean, I'd say both managers will have been thrilled. Kilkenny, because they got the points and they have an experimental team. But I think Michael Ryan will be more happy. Like, they had maybe three lads that would be sure of their position in the summer and put it up to Kilkenny, came back from 7 points down to go 2 up. It was a roller coaster game. It was a brilliant game.
Yeah.
Both managers happy? Like, is anybody coming out of the ground unhappy yesterday at all?
Yeah, they're very, very happy now, especially so Brian would have been happy now just get the win. They dug deep in the end, and only for Leicester Ryan with a flick there, and Killian Buckley had another brilliant block down as well in the last couple of minutes. You could actually show what it kind of meant to the guys to get that over line there as well. But no, Michael Ryan would have been very, very happy. As what I mentioned earlier on, he was testing his panel, testing a few new players as well, and see how they cope. And a lot of them actually did. I'd say he was pleased enough when he sits down either yesterday evening or tonight, and he watches the game again. And he'd be very, very happy with the way a lot of the players that probably from outside the county would know what they're like, but they did to put their hand up and look to be counted now as well. To be fair,
yeah, Tipper. Like, even though they did put their hand up, and he's looking at the Munster League, and he knows now that he can maybe trust some of these bugs to come on, but there's none of these lads displacing some of the more regular lads that I can see. Maybe you have a different call on it.
Yeah, I said here last week, Willie, that I think Michael Ryan is playing a blinder, and I think he played a blinder yesterday. I don't think he's going to be too disappointed with the result at the end of it. I think he learned an awful lot from yesterday. First of all, James Barry, okay, he was centre back. He's really needed in the full back line. Just goes to show, I suppose, how much Paddy Maher is needed in the half back line. TJ seemed to be getting on an awful lot of ball. And Kilkenny have a way of playing this year that has been unlike the way they played in the last couple of years. They're working the ball up a bit. TJ and the two wing forwards are coming short for ball, and they're shooting from distance. But, you know, if you would like to Paddy Maher there, you probably would have been a little bit more vocal to Brendan Maher and to Ronan Maher, calling one of those midfielders back to kind of look after TJ a little bit while he could go back and support the full back line. So, look, I think Michael Ryan learned a lot there. When it comes to the forward unit, you know, we had this conversation last week as well, Bully, about Michael Breen.
Yeah.
You know, is he a forward, is he not? He stood up yesterday and he had a great game. You know, he got two great goals in the second half. And then you had young Mark Russell coming on and giving Joey Holden one of the worst 20 minutes that he's had in his hurling career, you know. So I think Michael will be delighted with how Tip performed. But look, it just goes back. It was an absolute fantastic game. It had that real championship kind of cut to it, albeit Tip were missing so many of their championship starters, and Kilkenny were obviously missing a lot as well. But it still had, you know, the classic Tip Kilkenny game. You know, JJ's played many of them down through the years, but it was just a real joy to watch, and I think both managers will be happy with it.
Yeah, well, it was a lot more traditional, I thought, yesterday. As in, we spoke on Thursday about Kilkenny having gone short with puckouts a lot against Waterford. There wasn't much evidence of that yesterday. I think one or two of them went short that I can remember, but most of them were cleared down, and Kilkenny were fighting for ball and getting on breaks, and kind of it's almost like a throwback to the way you played, I thought.
Yeah,
a little bit, JJ.
They did from the puck out, they did, now to be fair. They went long, all right, but then when they had the ball in hand, they were trying to find each other 30 or 40 yard pass
there again.
Kind of, that's the beauty of it. You have to mix it up there as well, and they always had the option of pucking in high on top of Walter Welsh there as well, which I thought second half now he tore Tossie Hamill apart now as well in a couple of times. But what I like about Kilkenny there yesterday as well, they're back threatening the goal again for the first two or three games. I don't think we threatened them too much, but Alan Murphy was unlucky for another goal, just hit the side net in there as well. But they look dangerous in that full forward lane again, and which that's what you want. And at least maybe Colin Finley, maybe Jerry Elwood come back there as well, and they have options there as well. And I really like the look of Richie Latty in the middle of the field there as well. I know he got the winning point, but he got on a lot of ball when he went out midfield. He started the corner forward, but he's better out the field when he's facing the ball, and he's very, very comfortable on the ball himself as well. Especially when, like, when TJ caught the ball for the last point and he went for the run, and he knew TJ would give him the ball, and he just shortened grip in the hurl and just flicked it over the bar. He wasn't going to be hooked. He had awareness of to do the right thing, and he had another couple of shots to the goal as well. But he'd be a huge positive forward now, and a few lads
so
more.
So where's
lads
he
back.
A positive forward that he's going to, like, I mean,
say probably midfield,
so
is his best position.
So?
I think so.
Like,
yeah.
A Chaff Fitz type midfielder.
Yeah, he's very, very quick, and he's good in the air now. He's left handed, really good in the air as well. And I think his compliment with James Maher, I think he's after having a very, very good league campaign. He burst on the scene there a couple of years ago, got a bad broke. He's broke his kneecap there last year as well. He's only coming back.
Right.
But he's in a fine league there as well in midfield. So that might free up Conor Forty to go back half back when he does come back as well, like, you know. So
and Killian Buckley, the centre back.
Killian
then.
Buckley, centre back there as right. well. So you could have options. And again, Parg has come back, Paul Murphy. And look, there's six or seven lads still have to come back on that Kilkenny team. But there is options there as well. And like the look of Luke Scanlon as well, he took his goal goal very, very well, and he can nearly waited for the fullback to commit before he actually went and took the shot as well. So he took the goal very as well. So look, again, a lot of positives now. I like the look of him. Again, this Kilkenny team has grown as well. They played a lot better than they did a couple of weeks ago, and I can only see him improving as well.
The one thing, and you touched on it there, Bugs, was how Russell played when he came on. Now, Joey Holden was taken to the cleaners. Your man Russell had hands on him. They were like shovels. I saw him when he caught one ball there. There was no way this ball wasn't going to land in. It was like a baseball glove. But he showed up a serious weakness with Holden there. And, like, I mean, who's Holden's replacement? Pádraic Walsh, who wouldn't be known for being dominant in the air. And if I was a Galway manager, I'd be saying Johnny Glynn, get back home, or bring in Joe Cooney or Connor Cooney. All those Galway lads can do damage in the air, and it showed up a bit of a weakness in there for Kilkenny.
Yeah, it did. Like, I think Joey is a lot more comfortable when he's playing in the corner. And one thing about Cody down through the years, he always builds from the back up. You know, he gets his full back line right, and in, you know, the game so far this year, he's gone with a full back line of Joey Hole and Pádraic Walsh and Deegan then as well in the other corner, you know, and he's kept with them. Obviously, Pádraic was missing the last day because he was tied up with college duties the day before. Holden stepped in. Didn't look as comfortable, being honest with you. But I disagree with you, Woolley. I think if Pádraic Walsh was in their full back, he'd match anybody in the air because he's so cute. He'll get the ball to ground. He'll do what he has to do.
Right.
I think Joey was just a little bit kind of naive when the ball came in. And, you know, once Russell caught the first two, his gander was up, and then it was the tip forwards or the tip halfbacks midfield knew from then on, geez, if we could just get the ball in at all, this guy's going to cause havoc. And that's what he did when he got the ball inside. But I hadn't heard of him before yesterday, but he's a real, real option there. And we spoke about this last week as well. The options tips have full forward. You know, the Jason Ford, who had a great game the day before as well for UL. He's playing well for Tip all year. You have Seamus Callan to come back in there as well. He could be 14. Now you have Michael Breen, and then you have this guy as well, Mark Russell. So they have massive options for the number 14 jersey.
Yeah, it's almost like I'll have to say, give Pádraic Walsh there. Sorry about that, Pádraic. Sorry for selling you short on that. I just kind of thought, because he's not the biggest man in the world, that he might not be able. You reckon he'd be able to handle?
Oh, he would, yeah. Pádraic, very, very good in the air.
Right.
He's very similar to Tommy in the way he attacks the ball in, and he doesn't wait for the ball to come down. He attacks it at the height there as well. So yeah. Pádraic is very, very good in the air.
So Russell then is going to be a bit like Jackie Charlton when they've cast Greeno and Quinn together at the end of the game. So, like, I mean, it is an option for Tipperary that if in 10 minutes to go and they need a goal or two, that they have a plan to be able to launch it. Because Tipperary, like we said, can be that bit predictable in that they're... The ball, they go into the forward line, always has to be perfect, you know, and it's lovely ball and they're good at that. But maybe at times they might just like to get it in, and this Russell looks like he can win some serious
balls.
It's an
option that Bally needed there as well, especially the last 10, 15 minutes of the game. You have to think your midfielders, your halfback line, do a lot of hurling, and maybe they just want to, they can't hit in the perfect ball anymore. They just want to get it in and get away from their own defence as quickly as possible. And this guy is definitely an option there as well. So it'd be interesting to see now, does he actually give him a full game now next week as well, and see if he does kind of take off from here there as well. Like,
yeah, no, there's definitely it was mentioned already, I think it was by JJ Bugs, is this thing of not bringing on Paddy Maher and Noel McGrath. Like, I mean, that would make you think Kilkenny wanted to win that a lot more than Tipperary. Now, obviously, the Tipperary players on the field wanted to win it, but the Kilkenny management might have wanted to win it a lot more than the Tipperary management.
Yeah, I think so. I think Michael Ryan, at the back of his mind, he's not really looking to the league this year. He's looking at survival, all right. Okay, they have to go down and they have to beat Cork next week, but I think they're going to do that anyway. But he just wanted to see, you know, how these guys are going to fare out. And, you know, Paddy Maher could get an injury, you know, throughout the year, and they're going to need someone to step into six there. So, look, as I said, I don't think he's going to be too disappointed. I think he learned an awful lot more from defeat yesterday than he would have if Tipper pulled out the victory. So I don't think he's really bothered with it, being honest with you.
Would you be a little bit disrespected by that, JJ, in a way, after all those battles? Like, I mean, for him not even to bring on a player or two that could have won it for them, it's like...
I suppose, no, from Kenny's point of view now, whatever Tipperary do, like, that's, you have to control the controllables, and that's completely out of your control of what the other manager does, you know, and there's still 15 players, Tipperary players on the field, so you just want to beat them as much as possible there as well. And Kenny wanted to protect the record against Tipperary. I think it's around 10 years since they bet him in the league there as well, so they're proud of that kind of stat there as well. Like,
yeah, well, you didn't like that statement. statement there, no. did you? You have to throw out that statement. Yeah. It? But like, it's a weird one because that game was such a brilliant game. And like, no matter whether you're targeting the league, it was such a seesaw game and a great game that you can get carried away in it. Yeah. Like, whatever Michael Ryan wants, like, would he not have wanted to win that and brought the two lads on? I just can't understand. Just bring them on, because they would have swung that. There was nothing in that, you know, because Tip went from 7 down to 2 up. You know, like, yeah. And maybe Ryan thought they had it then, and Kilkenny came back, surprised him a little bit. Maybe
he thought he had enough on the field now to see out the game as well. Because look, again, it's not a case they were getting hammered or anything like that either. They were coming back into it at the right particular time, because there's only what 5-10 minutes to go, and there were a couple of points up there as well. So they thought the young lads would see it out. Like, but again, you're as a manager, probably you're looking at the players said right, who's going to stand up now, and who's going to have gained that big game experience there as well, and which you can only tell in the last 10 minutes of a game, and your backs are against the wall, and you need to know who you can actually trust and who you can't trust. And maybe just said, right, we'll see how these lads get on, because in fairness, it didn't go too bad up to that particular.
No.
There was only a puck of the ball in the game, that's all it was. So
yeah.
You can't really get too carried away either on the line.
And we'll talk about Michael Breen in performance of the weekend, because he really surprised me. He was unbelievable, and I was told that he played full back at underage hurling, so this is a real all rounder on the frees and the whole lot. But he'd been playing in the corner and was out of the game, but full forward, he looked like a completely different prospect. I want to talk about Waterford and Cork here, because like we've mentioned the pitch already, that it was a complete joke, and sending off probably did have a little bit of a bearing on it. But like, I mean, Bugs, Cork, after an opening win against Kilkenny, have just turned into a little bit of a shambles, really.
Yeah, I think so, Bully, yeah. I suppose the worrying aspect, I suppose, if you're a Cork supporter, will be their lack of scoring forwards so far in the league. They're over-reliant at the moment on Patrick Horgan, and yesterday they'd only Patrick Horgan, and who else was it?
Conor Lehan.
That scored from play, like, you know. Another point, like, last year, you know, Shane Kingston was playing really, really well this time of the year. Coleman was playing well. Luke Mead. They just haven't seemed to have hit the same heights that they hit last summer, like, you know. So they need to work out. They need to spread out the scores a small little bit. And even Myler said that after the game, you know. But they were headless with a lot of the stuff they were doing. And you know, Anthony Nash is a great goalkeeper. And for all the good he does, he wastes an awful lot of ball as well. And they were down a guy yesterday, and a lot of the ball he got, he was just lumping it down to two spare watermen, not even one spare waterman, you know. And that killed, you know, Cork to a certain extent. But I think I would be worried if I was a Cork supporter at the moment. I don't think they're going in the right direction. As I said, they don't seem to have unearthed a couple of more forwards, and the guys that were playing well last year don't seem to be playing as good. So it's worrying times, I think, if you're a Cork supporter at the moment.
Yeah, because Coleman was back and he looked to be playing in midfield. They still have Lehan, Cadigan, Carnady and Horgan in the forwards. Like, I mean, they're their big hitters from last summer. So it's not like we're talking like Tip and Kilkenny, where they're missing a lot of their better players. Cork, when you look through Cork's team, like, I mean, they had Spillane, Cadigan's back strong, they had Joyce, they had a lot of the Cooper, they had a lot of their stronger players. And, you know, kind of, okay, the sending off did have a big bearing on it.
It did, yeah. It had a huge bearing on, to be fair. So again, Tadhg Burke was just released to be just a sweeper in the full back line then, and you could, if you were a full back line and you had Tadhg Burke there, and then you had, I think, Austin Gleeson played
the spare man for
the half back line, and you'd like to know Ollie Connors there and Barry Coughlin, all they didn't have to do to just spoil the guys that were marking, and Tadhg Burke would come in and sweep up, and which he did. And actually Waterford used the ball very, very well as well. They didn't waste the ball as much as Cork did. They kind of kept it. They were going parallel or going across the field there as well. So they were kind of had their head up when they were hurling as well. So, but again, the sending off had a huge, huge bearing on it. I'd like to see it was near enough level by the time he got sent off. But then after it just felt like a practice match after it, like, you know what I mean? And didn't seem to be too much atmosphere at the game either, to be fair, because there wasn't too much tackles going in, because the ball was only going 20 or 30 yards and they were just keeping it away from tackling each other as well.
Yeah. The one thing about Waterford, and we spoke here, Bugs, on Thursday about how, say, for example, was JJ was talking about how Sean Murphy for Wexford, he's the sweeper, he runs it a lot, whereas Tadhg Burke is there for his distribution, and there's different, the diff, use sweepers in different ways. But there was one point Tadhg De Burca got in the first half yesterday where he won the ball, he flicked it out to the wing and he went again. And you don't always see De Burca doing that. You kind of see him kind of minding the house, flicking it out. But he went again and he went at serious pace and he got the ball back and then he put it over the bar. And it always makes me wonder with Waterford is like, they should play a running game a bit more, because sometimes Waterford are as guilty as the opposition of driving it down to the spare man that will be on the other end. And it's like Waterford know they're going to be playing against the spare man because they're playing a spare man. And sometimes you wonder why they actually are clearing it down to an extra man themselves.
Yeah, I think so, Willie. And look, you kind of always know what you're going to get from Tadhg De Burca every time he plays. He's going to play a good game, if not a great game, every time he plays. But I think from a Waterford point of view, and I'd have great admiration for Derek McGrath, but he went on record saying after the game that they're building towards the summer. But you look at every team is building towards the summer. But the thing about this Waterford team, they're playing the exact same way as they did last year, but not as good. And they seem to have, at the moment, no inside forward line that is scoring a freedom and that's clicking. They're still relying on scores from, out around the middle third. And the way Waterford play, and McGrath alluded to the point a couple of weeks ago about intensity and they didn't bring the intensity against Kilkenny. The way this team play demands that every time they play that their intensity has to be 100%, because they have to get the turnovers around the middle, and then once they turn over the ball, then they're shooting from distance and they're relying on scores from distance. While other teams, for example, the likes of Tipperary, every time they play, they probably don't have to bring an intensity, they don't have to reach 100% every time they play, because they have those natural inside scoring forwards that will put the ball over the bar for you, and although Waterford got the win yesterday, they win 45 minutes, playing with an extra man. And I know I only watched the game on television last night, but to me, they didn't even seem to change their game plan. Now, maybe they did. Like, if you were at the game, you would have seen an awful lot more, but they scored very little from play in the second half as well. So although they got the win, it's definitely not all rosy in Waterford at the moment.
Yeah, should maybe Austin Gleeson playing in the halfback line is something new. I take Bug's point that it does seem to be the same overall game plan. But should Waterford play like the Cork team he played against, JJ, from 03 to 06, like constant, because they have the extra men back. Why don't they play it through the hand a bit more and have those runners coming on? Because, you often see them driving into Morris Shanahan, it's 2-on-1, and that seems to be game plan. But if they play that running game where they actually use the fact that they've extra men back there running it, you got that example of Tadhg De Burca doing it. They can do it.
And they have the players, Jamie Barron in middle of field, would
perfect.
Actually suit him
Kevin
perfectly.
Moran.
He'd run and sprint away. But I think what they try and do is Tadhg De Burca goes back and gets the ball in cornerback positions because he's protecting that full back line all the time. And when he has cleared that, Waterford trying to have four players in the half forward line. That's why there's only one lad left up in the full forward line. So when Tadhg De Burca is clearing the ball, it's going to land on the opposition half back line, where Waterford have four players across and they're trying to break through. But as take Pogue's point 100%, that I say a lot of their scores are from in between the 45 and the 65, not in between the 45 and the 21, because that's where they seem to crowd all that particular space and try and take shots from distance as well. And it seems to be doing that a lot there. Like Pargamani would shoot, but he shoot from out on the sideline on 50-60 yards out. I know they got a couple of points near the end that were inside the 21, but I'd say if you look back to their league, they're few and far between, I'd say.
Yeah, and I suppose there's different ways of playing Bugs, because Tipperary obviously have that unbelievable full forward line, and if Waterford had that, I'm sure Derek McGrath would play a different way, but he doesn't have it, so he has to maybe play the way he's playing now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I totally agree with your point as well. Waterford don't play this short game all the time. They do seem to let it in and hope the guys rush in off the breaks off the likes of Mara Shannon and whoever else is inside there. But I know you mentioned about this running game and could they play this running game. I don't know. I think when Cork brought out that a couple of years ago, their fitness levels were just so phenomenal, and they had the players that could play that game, the O'Connors and the likes. Nowadays, every team is as fit as each other, really. Every team is as fast as each other, really. I don't know whether they get away with playing that sort of game, And have they have some exceptional hurlers. There's no doubt about that. Waterford have exceptional hurlers. But, as a group, they haven't got the same hurlers that the likes of Tipperary have. Or even I'll even go as far as even say the likes of Clare have at the moment.
but they have some fantastic individual hurlers. But look at Derek isn't going to deviate from his plan, and that, you know, playing the sweeper and whatnot. You're right, I agree with you when you said about Tiger Borka. He kind of got forward a little bit more than he had been in other games. I suppose they could deploy that tactic a little bit more, but instead of having Tiger making the runs all the time, they need someone else, because he can only do that one every two or three balls or three or four balls. Like, it's very hard to maintain that level of fitness, you know, all through the game. Like, so it's just something that they have to think about.
Yeah, just little small things like that. Say, let the Burka go sweeper, let him go, then him mark Austin Gleeson's man, let the Gleeson do it, and take turns making that extra man, because I'm sure that extra man just coming from deep is a torture to have to pick up.
Especially, he breaks the line as well.
And breaks past that midfield line.
Maybe look after yesterday, now we can see that he can actually do it, and he had a confidence, hit the ball over the bar as well, so that might inspire him on to do it a bit more. Like.
Yeah, okay, right, we'll be back in a second with performance of the weekend.
We have a farm back home, so we have a big farm back home, and we have cattle and sheep, and we have a few donkeys as well. So we had a couple of filly donkeys, so I brought them down, and so we did actually sold them to, I think I had four donkeys on the day, and we sold them to a man from Wexford. So we did. So there's the piebald donkey still there, and there's the traditional donkey, and there's the Spanish donkey, and then there's the
Spanish donkey.
They call it. Yeah, you see them on the beaches, never. And so you can actually, one time the donkey was useless, right? But now some people have started to get back into them, because you can use them for headage, and it's used towards your bonuses, your grants. A donkey eat a pallet.
First nomination for performance of the weekend is Rory O'Connor, lads. Came on at half time for Lee Chin, scores 3 points. We know all about him anyway, because he came on last year and he played the full game against Waterford last year in the Championship. Yeah. Wexford need him, I think, Bugs, because I don't know. Like, I mean, they just, obviously every team needs a bit more quality, but I think Wexford, they probably do need that little bit of quality coming through.
Yeah, and any team that is a sweeper, deploys a sweeper, are going to need five forwards that are free scoring forwards, really, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, he's going to add that to them this year. Really, really good player. 4 points from play when he came on yesterday. Really, really impressive. He'd definitely be a starter come Championship. Really, really bright prospect. And his brother as well, Jack O'Connor, had a fine game as well, wing forward as well. So you're looking at probably the two of them being in the starting Wexford team come Championship, I'd imagine.
Yeah, he's a good player, isn't
he? Good player, yeah, he is. That right or left, he looks very, very comfortable now as well, and he's only young as well. I think he's battling back from a knee injury as well, so that's why we didn't see him up to this there as well. But he came on, especially came on for a big player. Lee Chin went off and he came back on, and he's got 3 or 4 points for the second half now as well. Like, you know, but he looked very, very comfortable. He knew what he's doing. Like,
he did. Aaron Galan. I have to admit, I haven't seen Aaron Galan playing yet, but maybe the two of you fellas have. I've been following his scores in Division 1B, and he's bloody running amok, so he is. So I'm looking forward to seeing him in the Championship, but he's absolutely flying it. And in fairness to Limerick, like, I don't know if Galway are going to throw this, like I'm suggesting, Bugs, but definitely Limerick, for all the players they're down. I know they're in a weaker group, but they've been really impressive.
Yeah, they have been. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Galway next week, being honest with you. And, you know, Limerick still have the likes of the Piercy lads to come back as well. Seven Limerick lads started with Joel as well on the start 15 team on Saturday, you know, and all played really, really well, you know. Young Hegarty was excellent. Sean Finn, Connor, Ronan Lynch played. You know, real players, you know, they play really, really well. But Glenn seems to be doing good. He scored 1-3 or 1-6 yesterday, 3 frees. Played really, really well as well for Mary Eye the last couple of years. Looks a good prospect, I think, yeah.
What's he good at then, Galan? Is he a big fella or small? In my head, Limerick have enough small, tricky lads that could do with a kind of a fella has a bit of presence about him.
Yeah, I think he's kind of like a rangey half forward. You know, he's well when he's on ball. Really good free taker. Had a good year last year for the Limerick under 21s, in fairness to him. Just a real kind of forward, you know, that can take a score off the left, they can take a score off the right, and his option there as a free taker as well. And seems to be playing, as I said, seems to be playing really, really well.
You're a neighbour of Limerick, because we talk about Limerick here a couple of weeks ago, and we're wondering, is this a real coming team like ye were in 2013, or are they good, but, you know, teams in Munster aren't overly concerned about Limerick because they'll probably make a balls of it as usual? I don't mean that to sound in a bad way, but, like, I mean, is this a special group coming like your group, Bugs?
It's hard to say, Willie. Like, you couldn't have said that we were a special group coming until we won the All-Ireland. Like, you couldn't... Okay, we won a couple of under-21s. Limerick have won, two of the last three All-Ireland 21s. You can't really say that it's a special group coming, but one thing we do know down here, that they have a really, really, really good panel of players. And, you know, if you're the Limerick management, you know, you're going to have a lot of headaches, you know, wondering where to play players. Like, I see young Hegarty for UL the other day. He was centre-back and was man of the match. He was absolutely phenomenal. Limerick actually play him as a forward then. So, you know, it's a question for Kylie. Do I play this guy in the back? Do I play him in the forwards? But Limerick are littered with hurlers. We know that. It's just about if they all buy into the same sort of system that's been asked, and if they just get things right, they can go on a run. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if Limerick was on a run. They're going into this year relatively low key. Nothing has really been said of them yet, although they're putting up big scores in the league so far, but nothing has been really written about them. So, you know, if I was a team in Munster, you know, I'd be very, very fearful that they could sneak into the top three, and it wouldn't surprise me one bit if they did.
Yeah, especially because that squad, they definitely have a big squad if they're missing that many players and still performing to the level that they are. Brendan Maher was brilliant yesterday, wasn't he? I know he got four from play. He had that big hit late on that looked fair enough, and he went mad about it. But he was top notch yesterday.
Brendan's been fabulous already over the last few years as well. I think midfield, he was tried it half back. He can hurl half back, and he was tried up centre forward. But I think midfield is complements his game completely, because he knows where to be. He just sits there and he gets a pop pass there from the half back line, because he knows he needs to help the half back line, because he played there before himself, and he's very, very accurate. He does shoot right or left. He's very, very accurate as well. But again, he had a great game. He had a great battle. The tip midfield and Kilkenny midfield had a savage battle there yesterday as well.
Yeah, does a lot of the work Brendan Maher does, Bugs, go unnoticed, or am I being fair? I know he got four from play yesterday, which would give kind of a non-hurling person like me, oh, he was great. But, like, I mean, it kind of always strikes me that he's so highly rated, but maybe you don't see all the good work that he does. Would that be fair, or...?
I think it will be, Wooly. Yeah, I think one of Brendan's best attributes would be his leadership skills and his on-field communication. You can even see him every game he plays. He's always talking to the half-back line. He's always talking to the half-forward line. He's just a leader on the field, and he's a big, big focal point for Tipperary at the moment. But I suppose what impressed me most about Binny is his scoring ability. You know, he was always a defender first, but he seems to have really brought that scoring element to his game. But if I was to sum up him, he's a leader that's really, really needed for Tip at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. TJ Reid, JJ, I'll give you the last one. He's the last nomination. Oh, Michael Breen as well. Do you know what? We won't say anything about TJ Reid, because there's nothing really to add to TJ Reid.
He's just brilliant again.
He's back
again,
and he's just a phenomenal player altogether. Like, there's no doubt about that. Like, centre forward is his position, isn't it?
He's involved in the game all the time as well.
All the time. And then the centre back has that question of whether to follow him or not.
You can't let him go, like, you know. And he's very comfortable on the ball there as well. And even seen yesterday, has the ball on the hurl, and he's looking around to see where he can pass the ball as well. He's just very, very comfortable on the ball right or left.
Yeah, he makes them tick. There's no doubt about that. I'll leave Michael Breen to you then, Bugs. Jeez, he amazed me. Like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing, considering, like, I had criticised playing him in the forwards. He was neither here nor there in the corner. But I know from playing in the full forward line myself, there's a huge, huge difference in playing full forward and playing corner forward. They're like completely different pressures. Corner forwards have to score. Full forwards can, you know what I mean, get on a lot more ball and do other things with it.
Yeah, look, he scored 2-9 yesterday, 7 from frees, 2-2 from play. And anytime you get 2-2 from play, you know, you have to, it's a great achievement. But, you know, he took over the frees. I'm not sure if he's an actual free taker or not, but he took over the frees. Tough thing to do, like, you know, in a big league game like that against Kilkenny. And it didn't faze him whatsoever, you know. But again, the question is, you know, where are you going to play Michael Breen? It's looking like he's going to be in the forwards this year. If he's starting anyway, it's looking like he's going to be in the forwards, whether it's 13 or 14, we don't know quite yet. But big plus to Tip, and probably their biggest plus so far this year.
Yeah, and he stuck with him as well, JJ. Yeah. So he obviously knows something. And I mentioned he played full back at underage level.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say he's a natural free taker if he's been in the full. There's not many full backs you see coming up to take frees. But no. Michael Ryan has stuck with him. So yeah. There's something going on in club hurling down in Tip that is making him, you know, have that faith in him. And he was repaid yesterday.
Every time you see the Tipperary team, you see Michael Ryan corner forward. You think he's going to come out the field, maybe a third midfielder or something that leaves space inside the full forward. But he has been actually playing genuinely corner forward and full forward today. But yeah, I heard talks being full back, but it'll be a huge call for at this stage for Michael Ryan to actually change. Say, no, Michael, no, I know you're hurling the forwards now for the last 3 or 4 months, but I want to put you back full back now. It'll be a huge call, and he'll have to do it sooner rather than later if he's going to do it at all this year.
Yeah, no, exactly. One other shout out to the Donegal hurlers who've beaten Down and Derry this year. So in my head, Down and Derry were in Ulster finals against Antrim and against each other, I think, at one stage. Maybe when I have these nostalgic kind of memories of Ulster hurling being all right. But like, I mean, Donegal hurlers, like, they're completely look, they're on the way up. They're obviously doing something right. I might try and do something on Thursday with someone from the Donegal hurlers and get an interview with somebody. Performance of the weekend, I'm going to give it to who am I going to give it to? Michael Breen, right? Because 13's not for you, but 14 is your position. It was nearly just right. And now I think when you're a fella like Michael Breen, definitely corner forward. Corner forwards for these lads who get 2 chances and it's gone over the bar. 3. They could have 5 possessions and it's 1-2. You know, that kind of 1-3. Yeah. Like, I mean, you have to be lethal to play in the corner. But at full forward, you can do all sorts of different things. Win the ball, lay it off, and that pressure's not there. But he scored 2-9. So he gets performance of the weekend. That's all we've time for. We're back next week with a preview of the last round. It's the last round of games, isn't it? And then we've got quarters, semis and finals. And there's a load of snow forecast for the end of this week. So there could, if these games don't go ahead this weekend, then there's no more space. There's no more room for anything.
Call off the league.
The April for clubs is all gone. Yeah. And we're ripping up the script and it's all over. So we might talk to you on Thursday. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.